Could we turn, please, in the New Testament scriptures to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 28 to the end of verse 34. Mark 12, verses 28 to the end of verse 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Amen. And we know God will add a blessing to this reading from his holy and precious word. The heading for this evening's meeting, and it's very simple, almost but lost. Could we just unite our hearts together, please, around the throne of grace in prayer? Father, we once again thank you for your presence thus far in the meeting. Now, Lord, as we come once again to the handling of your word, Lord, you know my heart. I'm a nobody and a nothing. But please, Lord, to take this nobody, take this nothing up tonight, Lord, and use them for your honor and for your glory. Lord, you must increase, I must decrease. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Help me to uplift the lovely name of Jesus. If there's one in our meeting not saved, Lord, won't you save them tonight? If there's a backslider, draw them back to you. But best of all, Lord, you have all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you know, whenever you study the Gospels, I'm sure you're amazed as I am at the simplicity of the preaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often when the Lord was preaching to the people, his disciples and many unsaved ones, and as they were gathered around the feet of Jesus, and he started to expound them in the precious word of God, I noticed so often that the Lord would use so much of his creation to present the people the gospel of himself. You got to remember that these people gathered round the feet of the Savior, they were unlearned and ignorant people. They hadn't much schooling or much education. So the Lord was able to take his creation and there deliver a message to the people. On one occasion he was talking to the people, And he said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. What the Lord was bringing out here in this message, to be a Christian, to be a disciple, to be a follower of mine, it's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. There have been many hardships on the way to heaven. And he was warning them, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And there the Savior very simply was using the creation of foxes and the fowls of the air to bring out to them a message of the gospel. One other day he was walking down the road with his disciples, and there was this great harvest field. And as the Lord looked into the harvest field, he could see there was so few laborers in the harvest field. It's as if they were flogging a dead horse. There's this huge field of wheat, and yet there was so few in the harvest field to bring in the sheaves. The Lord turned round to his disciples and he says about this old world, look ye upon the fields are white already to harvest, but the laborers are few. And he was pointing out to them, listen, this harvest field, very soon if the sheaves aren't brought in, it'll be overripe, it'll be rotten, it'll be lost, and it'll be only fit to be burned with the fire. And the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them, unless we get more laborers into the harvest field to bring in the sheaves, men and women all around us will be lost and go out into hell for all eternity. And God says to you and me, child of God, look ye upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest, but the laborers are few. But then we read here in Mark chapter 12 of a scribe, and he listens to the Lord Jesus Christ preaching and teaching to the people. This man was a Jew. He was a scribe. He was a man of education. He was brought up in the Jewish religion with the Jewish tradition and all the rites and rituals of the church. And yet regarding God's so great salvation, he was dark as dark could be regarding God's so great salvation. But as he sat at the feet of Jesus that day, he heard the Lord speaking about he was the one that could save men and women. And then this scribe started to get the message that salvation was in Christ and Christ alone. And this man, as he heard the gospel, the master turned round to him and he said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. Perhaps you've been coming here for weeks and months and years. You've sat here and heard Mr. Kenny, other gospel preachers pleading with you to get gloriously and wonderfully saved. As you've sat there in your seat time after time, you said to yourself, I know I should be saved, but I'll leave it just for another while. And God speaks to your heart tonight, and he says to you, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But it's so easy to be near the kingdom of God and to be lost, to go out into God's eternity, lost forevermore. And I would cry out in this meeting once again while the Spirit is speaking to you, be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus called you, be in time. For if in sin you longer wait, you may find the open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. And in this meeting tonight, the Lord, in His great mercy, has given you another opportunity to hear the gospel. How the Lord Jesus Christ loved you and gave Himself for you in Calvary and bore our sins in His own body in the tree. Oh, we can say with a hymn writer, see from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? And we would urge you in this meeting tonight to get ready to prepare to meet your God. Who knows? For someone in this gospel meeting, for the very last time, you'll ever hear the gospel preached. And in this meeting tonight, you need to prepare to meet your God. If you were to turn back in the scriptures to Acts chapter 24, Paul was in prison for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Governor Felix sent for Paul from the prison. And Governor Felix there that day heard Paul preaching unto him God's so great salvation. He heard the message of the gospel that day, that the Lord Jesus Christ loved them and gave Himself for them, and the Lord could save them. He heard the message of the gospel that so often that you have heard. And as he sat there under the feet of Paul, as Paul preached the gospel to him, he turned round and he looked at Paul and he said, Paul, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. The tragedy was, he didn't say, Paul, when I want to be saved, I'll call for you. But he says, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. This man didn't realize, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Men and women don't get saved whenever they feel like it. They must come while the Spirit of God is striving with them and pleading with them. And you read the scriptures right through the Revelation, and never another opportunity does Governor Felix get right with God. And you could see Felix, sir, and Paul pleading with him to give his life over to the Savior. And as he sends God's servant away, you look at Felix and you could say to Governor Felix, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But Felix wasn't far from the kingdom of God, but he was lost. It's so easy. It's happened to many, a man, a woman, or a young person. While the Spirit is striving with them to go out the door of God's house to hear the gospel for the last time, and something happened to them to be launched out into God's eternity, to be lost forevermore in that lake of fire that burneth day and night forever and ever. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is calling, and steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? for someone in this meeting tonight, perhaps it could be the last time you'll ever hear the Spirit striving with you to come to Him. For someone in the meeting tonight, this could be the last gospel meeting you'll ever attend. And this book says in Genesis 6 and verse 3, "My Spirit shall not always drive a man." When men reject, women reject God's offer of mercy, there comes a time when the Spirit stops striving. A dear brother had a mission for 2 weeks. Night after night, this faithful man of God in a wee mission hall, night after night, he preached faithfully the gospel of redeeming grace. And this man attended night after night very faithfully. Night after night, he was under great conviction of sin. But the last night of the mission came, and he was sitting in the pew as he had done for the fortnight. The appeal was made for the very last time, pleading with men and women, young people, to come and accept Christ the Savior. While they were in the meeting, a snow had fallen, and he walked out the door with this other man, and they crunched the snow beneath their feet, but the wind caught the door and it closed with a merciful slam, and the man jumped and he said, "What was that?" He says, "The door of the gospel meeting has closed for the very last time." And that man realized there and then that the Spirit of God had stopped striving with him. Oh, listen, dear one, in God's house, while the Spirit is striving with you, throw down those puny arms of rebellion. In that seat, just cry even to God in the quietness of your heart, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Lord will hear you, and he'll save you, and he'll redeem you in his precious blood. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and hallelujah, all things will become new. I urge you tonight, don't linger. Don't leave it any longer. For you and I, we don't know what a day may bring forth. You need to prepare to meet your God. But then we have another man in Acts chapter 26. Here we have a king, King Agrippa. Paul was still in prison. Agrippa sent to hear Paul. He wanted to see what made this man tick. He heard all about the fame of Paul, how he was beaten many times, put into prison, and yet he would not stop preaching the gospel. And he wanted to see this man. He wanted to hear this man. And Paul was brought out of the prison. He was brought before King Agrippa. His hands and his feet were bound with chains. And there Paul gave him his testimony, how he was a murderer, how he put Christians to death, how he persecuted many Christians, and how on the Damascus Road he had many Christians, and many of them were going to go to their death. Many were going to be persecuted. But there that day on the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus, as he was then, heard the cry from God, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Paul related how a light brighter than the sun brought him right down to his knees into the gutter. And he heard the cry, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And this murderer, this persecutor of the people of God, there that day on the Damascus Road, turned from persecuting Christians to be one of the greatest workers for the church since the Lord Jesus Christ. And King Agrippa trembled under conviction of sin. And he turned round to Paul and he says, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul, I'm almost converted to Christ." But he done a sum in his head and he realized, you know, if I get saved, if I trust Paul's Savior, oh, there's so much I'm going to give up. There's so much that I'm going to have to leave behind. And it's too much of a price to pay to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent Paul away back to the prison cell. And again, you read the scriptures. He never had another opportunity to get saved. And this man, King Agrippa, went out into a lost eternity forevermore. And in this meeting tonight, you're only a heartbeat away from a lost eternity. And in this meeting tonight, I pray, others pray in this meeting, that you will get gloriously and wonderfully saved. I wonder, is there one in this meeting tonight? I don't know you. Your heart's broken. Your heart's wrecked. You don't know where to turn. Everything, it seems doom and gloom. And you've destroyed everything that you ever had. Let me tell you, this book says that he can save to the uttermost all that comes unto God by him. You might say, "You don't know me. You don't know my past life. You don't know my past experience, what I've done and all the rest of it. But I know that Jesus saves to the uttermost all that comes unto God by him." Some years ago, I maybe mentioned it before. If I have, I apologize. Top of the Craigie Road, just on the Knock Carriageway, there was a home opened up there for men that were caught up in the horrors of drink. And I say this reverently, not to judge. Some of them were fearful specimens. We give them a roof over their head, a clean bed. We give them food. And we had gospel meetings for them. And in those meetings, we just simply told them of Jesus, the mighty to save. And praise God, some of those men did get saved. And then we had Bible studies and prayer meetings for them. And as you got to know those men, some of them were willing to open up, and some of them just closed up. I got talking to one of the men one day, and he was a nice man too, but caught up with the horrors of drink. And I simply said to him, "What happened to you? How did you get into this state and this situation that you're in?" He says, "You know, I was an accountant. Wife, family, big house, car, and everything goes with it." He says, "I was raking in a fortune and money." He says, "I liked the casual drink. But then," he says, "the more money I got, the more money I had to drink." And when you looked at him and talked to him, there was that emptiness within him. He says, "I drank away my business. I drank my home away. My wife, family left me." And he ended up on the streets, destitute, not a penny in his pocket, nothing left. Will I tell you something? The devil will bring you down further than you want to go. And sometimes, and I say this reverently, not judgmental, but there but the grace of God go I. And you look at men and women caught up in the horrors of drink, and sometimes we look down our nose at them, don't we? We've done it. But listen, when you think of what some of these people have lost, and yet the Lord can save to the uttermost all that comes unto God by him. And that dear man ended up in the streets, and somebody brought him into the home that we were running. And there he found the Savior. He got gloriously, wonderfully saved. Many did. But many of them just drifted away. The tragedy was some of their friends come to see them, and they were slipping the booze to them. It was a hard battle, but our God can save to the uttermost all that comes unto God by him. If the Lord could save Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, let me tell you tonight, there's hope for you at Calvary. Praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's young people in this meeting tonight. You watch your life ahead of you. If you're not already saved, you get saved. You trust in the Lord as your own and the personal Savior, because the devil wants to get you. He wants to drag you down. But you turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. No matter who you are tonight, no matter what your circumstances are, praise God, the Lord can stoop down and lift you from the gutter and make you a child of God. I pray tonight now at this meeting's come to a close, that you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own, as your personal Savior. I cannot save you. I cannot create an anxious thought, but what I can do, what other brethren or sisters in this meeting can do, they can lift up this book and point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. And remember, salvation's not in a man, a church, a religious sect or denomination. But listen tonight, salvation is of the Lord. This book says, and I'm finished now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Praise God, all things became new. That's what happened to me on the 14th of August, 1967. My breath reeking from cigarette smoke. Praise God, through a brother witnessing to me by the side of my bed. I called upon God for mercy, and mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. We're going to have a hymn, then a closing prayer. If you'd like to know more about this Jesus that we love and serve, do you see, while others go, you remain behind. Have a word with myself, some other brother in the hall, and we'll gladly open up this book and show you God's simple plan of salvation. May you come to know him in Jesus' name.